Welcome to another week of Beyond the Gym Floor. We went everywhere today. It's a bit of a long one. We talked about lessons that we can learn from human behavior and video games and how winners tend to win more and losers tend to lose more. We also went into the rabbit hole of why men are dicks to women in the gym and in general on the internet. We also unpacked why it's important to focus on one thing in your business at a time and execute really, really well. And we came after everyone with those silly two-hour morning routines that's actually hindering your productivity and not making it any better. Enjoy the episode. Don't forget to check out the link in the description and bio and come and join our community. This is our specific invite to our invite-only community for podcast listeners and our clients. We'll see you in there. Enjoy the episode.
You've got the thing. Where is it?
Oh, it's down there.
Where is, oh, here we go.
Love it. Love it.
We're on.
We're on. Beyond We're on. The Gym Floor is live.
That's it. That's it.
What happened? What did you buy?
Yeah, so I did the most Jason thing ever. Again, doing a lot of Jason things lately.
You are Jason.
That's it. So I've got a wedding this weekend. I don't know about you, but like I only wear one suit at the moment. Because I bought a suit and I was at my heaviest. And I still am not anywhere near my lightest.
Yeah.
I tend to like lose weight and then go back.
Yeah.
It's because I'm a hyper responder.
It must be.
So once I start training, it just blow up. Oof. You know. So I don't want to wear the same suit because the last three functions I've been at, I've worn the same suit.
You think anyone notices?
Well, I was talking to the boys about this and like, I feel like for men,
you need two suits.
You can get away with it.
Yeah. You need two suits.
But
one
yeah, I would like
one for a wedding.
Yeah. So I wanted to get a like at least just like a black jacket.
Yeah.
Because I've got like nice pants and I've got heaps of shirts and shit. So I went to get a jacket and then I end up walking out with like this huge trench coat, another Sherpa jacket because it was all on sale. So
yeah,
I had to buy it.
Had to. Yeah. End of financial year.
And I just couldn't find like the right jacket.
Yeah.
It just didn't fit.
Yeah.
It was like either too small in the sleeves, too tight across the back. And I was like, where do the fucking big people buy shit?
Yeah.
And like, you know,
big
the,
and tall.
We talked about, oh yeah, big and tall. Because I'm so fucking tall. But like we talked on the podcast before. It's like, we're not big.
Yeah.
We say we're not big, but there's bigger people than us.
Yeah.
It's like, where do they go to get the suits?
Yeah.
It's like, how?
You have to tailor them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just not about that.
I remember having my client say to me once, who was a hyper responder, that he had to do less weight training because his tailor had told him he's going through suits too quickly. And he was paying like $5,000 a pop. It was like I think he was at BP at the time, like a super high up lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he had to have like fucking Mickey Mouse suits.
Have you ever had a tailored suit?
No.
Mate, it is, that is one thing. If I was rich,
yeah,
I didn't even wear them.
I think like, my body changes too much to justify
the process spend. Is amazing though.
Yeah.
It's such a, like, you know, we're talking about my YouTube channel, like, man, it's like,
it's a masculine it's that. Experience. Yeah.
You just go there, like, you talk shit. There's like,
you get the whiskey and shit.
Yeah, there's whiskey, and like, you go through like all the colors, and then you got the shirt and the tie, and it's a fucking mad process. Like, you know, the measuring you up and shit, and you're just bantering. Like, it was good. I got it done for the wedding.
Yep.
It was great. It cost me a fortune. and I've worn the suit once, and I can't fit into it now.
Yeah.
But I definitely would do it.
Mm. Yeah. I like I said, if I didn't vary so much in weight.
Yeah. I don't have enough. I feel like I've changed in weight, but my body shape's changed.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, when I'm back to 86, like, I'll It'll be fit. Out of fit. But now it's like the fucking back's like so tight and whatever. It's like the whole body shape has just changed. So I'm like, well, this suit's fucking useless now.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, I only wear a suit, I don't know, 3 times a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like,
it's hard to justify an expensive.
Yeah, so I'm just going to go.
How adjustable are they though?
So when they tailor the suit,
as in, like if you changed since like 8 months ago, can you get it adjusted?
Oh yeah, well the one I got recently, I can still fit into it, and I bought the one with the stretchy material.
Yeah,
so they've
advanced
in technology, suit technology, we'll call it.
Yeah.
And you can get stretchy shit.
Yeah, the jacket I got for my wedding is stretchy, and I think it'd have a lot of room for adjustment.
That suit I borrowed to you, the black one's stretchy, but I've gotten to the point where that's
too stretched.
Well, it's pushing the limits. I look silly.
Yeah, it's working.
It kind of like, the sleeves kind of like crimple up and shit.
Yeah.
Like, I just look like an idiot.
Tate is your hero. It's like how he's looked in the podcast.
Just walk around like this fucking everywhere I go. Hello, my name is Jason.
Demonetized again. How come our numbers are so low this week? Because we mentioned Andrew Tate twice.
Top J.
Yeah. We didn't talk about... I meant to talk about Unfit because we were talking about the whole Tate thing. For those who aren't paying attention, he's been arrested for...
He's been charged.
For the R word and for trafficking.
Yes.
Because you know I say the R word.
Very heinous.
Also, you will get demonetized for that.
I don't say that word, so...
Yeah, so that is wild. But fucking like within the same day, McGregor's thing come out as well.
I'm out of this. What
really?
Happened? Yeah. I've just been submarine everything. Honestly, I'm fucking be fascinated.
So the same day McGregor knocked out the, what are they called? Mascot? You saw that, yeah. Right?
Oh, that was ridiculous. Was that real?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. He went to hospital.
I was like, I couldn't work out because, Derek? Derek put up a video. Yeah. And I was like, is this real? And they're like dragging the guy out. Like, what the fuck?
So I saw, I can't remember who it was. Oh, Chrissy D. He's a comedian. Making fun of it. Like, this is why in like Colosseum times, the gladiators were kept in a fucking cage.
Yeah.
You can't give these warriors millions of dollars and set them loose on the population.
Yeah, yeah.
They're fucking crazy. So yeah, he did that. And then, so this is... Whether he did it or not, it's fucked up. I watched a True Geordie video on it.
This is Conor McGregor we're talking
about. Yeah, so we'll start with the claim first. So the claim is that he dragged a girl into the bathroom and then forced her to do stuff.
Mm.
And then she pushed back against doing stuff. So he slammed her against the wall and forced her, basically.
Okay.
Then... That was their claim. Then one video came out of him like holding her hand and then both just walking into the toilet together. And then there's another video of them walking out and she seems pretty happy. And then there's another video an hour and a half later where they're just hanging out.
Yeah, right.
So it's all a bit like her story keeps changing.
It's the golden ticket.
Yeah, so it's like...
Which you don't want to obviously say in case it's not the case, but it's like...
Yeah, it just gets events, weird.
Yeah, pre-post and then post-post. It's like if your behaviors...
And if you are, it pisses me off because if you are lying about it, you're discrediting, you're making it harder for every other person who's not lying about it.
Correct.
So it's like, fuck you if you are doing that.
Yeah, and you're weaponizing me. You're weaponizing something that, like, you know, is the most, I guess, like, it's the easiest way to discredit a man.
Yeah.
Without making this, like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it is the easiest way to take someone down.
Yeah.
And discredit their reputation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, there's... Actually, I don't know if I think, but it's an interesting thought that if you accuse someone... It's not enough to just say, and they're not found guilty, because that's dumb.
Yeah.
But if there's proof that you lied, you get the same punishment as if you did it.
I totally agree.
Because
with
it's unfair to people that it's happened to who don't come forwards, because nothing will happen because everyone assumes you're chasing Connor's money or whatever.
Yeah.
But the fucked up part about this whole story, regardless if it was forced or not, he announced like the day before at Disneyland with his family that his wife's pregnant with their fourth kid.
Yeah, well.
And then there's video of him going into a bathroom with someone else.
Yeah, what a scumbag.
Suck. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, do you reckon like people with that much like fame and notoriety just don't give a fuck?
Well, it's like maybe...
maybe there's some form of agreement.
Yeah, there's another UFC fighter, I can't think of his name, who's really open about it, like his wife is okay with it.
Yeah.
But it's just like, don't... It's like the when you watch the old... movies and like the kings and stuff, and it's like, don't fucking disrespect me.
Yeah.
Like, you can do whatever you want, but don't fucking disrespect me in public.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you take the side piece somewhere,
yeah, it's like,
you're a piece of shit.
The queen knows that he's like tapping, he's got a side.
The mates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like, it's fine.
Cleaner.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, that's fine as long as no one knows.
Yeah.
But if people start to know, it's a problem.
Yeah.
And that's like, this is just like so blatant.
Fuck, one's enough, man.
Yeah. I agree. I agree.
I don't know how people take that shit on. It's the stress, bro. Yeah. Like, especially if it's not like, if it's not accepted, it's like, fuck that. It's just so hard much. Work. Like, I can't lie at the best of times. It's like, you're fucking talking shit. I can see it in your face. Like, there's no way you could hide that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maintaining two relationships.
Nah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's when it gets even more wild, when you actually have like girlfriends.
Yeah. You're living two separate lives.
Yeah.
Fuck. That is insane.
Yeah.
Any
good luck to
way.
You. Yeah, we're going to move on.
Yeah. When it gets awkward, all right, let's move on.
So, I saw a twinkle in your eye yesterday during Q&A.
A twinkle?
Oof. So, I'm going to poke the button and just see what we can get out of you.
All right.
Something going on right now with your interpretation of trainers going online too early.
Yeah.
And maybe just idolizing, maybe is the wrong word, but putting online coaching on a pedestal that maybe it shouldn't be on.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I had a conversation with someone about 3 weeks ago that I hadn't seen in a little while, and they were like, oh, you still a good life? And I was like, oh, no, I'm an online coach. Now, or I said, no, I'm just online at the moment. Mm-hmm. Just online at the moment.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, you made it. You've made it. Mm. I was like, what do you mean? And they're like, oh, you're online. And yeah. I was like, oh, okay, you know. So, obviously, there's a stigma that, like, if you're on the gym floor, I don't know. Yeah, you're like, yeah, you're the pawns in the front line, you're like, running out at the beaches of Normandy and the machine guns are just mowing you down. And then, like, you know, where the fucking general's, like, at the command center, like, yeah, send them in. Like, yeah. And it kind of, like, triggered me a fair bit because I think... You know, and we don't know we do it, but we kind of talk about just like what we know right now.
Mm.
And we are online coaches. So we just talk about that. And I think that sometimes the message can get sent that like, well, I need to get here. And we've got people that maybe look up to us and they just see what we do. And they're like, well, that's the destination that I need to be because they're my mentor or whatever.
Yeah.
And the one thing, like we're always on the flip side of that, you and I are very good at it. Where we're like, we want to get back to training people.
Yeah.
Like we are coaches. We are personal trainers. We're the coaches that are still PT. We're the business guys.
Yeah.
They're still fucking training people.
Yeah.
Like our training business is still there because we know how to scale it.
And albeit we also train ourselves.
Well, yeah.
Which is also rare in our, in the mentoring space.
100%. 100%. Yeah. So I think that... There's this movement where, like, you know, it's just glamorous, like, tap in from a cafe, travel, whatever. Like, it's just Instagram and someone's business put together. It's like all the highlights.
Yeah.
You know, so people are going to see that and it's going to seem quite desirable. And I just, like, can't be more strongly in the message that the longer you stay on the gym floor training people, actually, not only the better coach you'll be, you will be a much better online coach as well.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's just so much value to being, like, getting as much human interactions as possible, being able to solve so many problems in real time that you take those messages and lessons and you use them in the future when you're like, oh, hang on a second. Like, this person's, like, their language has changed or they've always, you know, typed really long messages and this one's short or this one's short and these ones are long or, you know, like there's just fluctuations in this and whatever. Like it just gives you way more like intuition.
Yeah.
You know, that you just can't get if you do your 8 months and then you're just like, oh, I just want to be an online coach.
Yeah.
You know, so I think for those people that are face to face, like it's okay.
Yeah.
Like you're not less of a person. Yeah. You're not, there's no, like no one looks down on you because you walk into the gym and train people. Like there are a large demographic of people who need help in the gym.
Yeah.
Who need to be taught in a face-to-face setting.
Yeah. I still get it now.
Yeah.
I still get my clients like, hey, can we do a face-to-face session?
Yeah.
Still get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. Like I did it for 10 years and I want to still do it. Like I want to still...
I think an interesting part of it is the scale of what a face-to-face trainer is so fucking broad.
Yeah.
Because you put the group exercise spectator, who's on $15 an hour, in the same category as a proficient, fully booked face-to-face trainer who's on $3,000 a week. More, sometimes.
Yeah.
They're not the same, but they're the same.
Yeah.
In terms of status in the industry, it's like you either need to own a gym or be online full time.
Yeah.
And that's like
yeah.
the medal.
Yeah.
But I like honor. I spent a long time only working afternoons.
Yeah.
And it was fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time doing the opposite.
Yeah.
Didn't have to come back when the gym was busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like I know part of the success of like I was resistant to go online because I love being in the gym. Mm. But it's also fucking easier, man.
Yeah. And that's what people miss.
3,000 people go to your fucking gym.
That's what people miss. Yeah.
It's like, and there's 20 trainers. Like, people don't do the math and they don't get it.
Yeah.
And it's like, of those 20 trainers, like, probably only 5 of them are going to do the work.
Yeah.
So then you're competing with 10 because the others are just like, you know, one person molded into maybe three people molded into one. So it's like, your prospect pool is huge.
Yeah. And you're not competing with the hottest people with a $100,000 marketing budget.
100%. And your ability to make impact and build authority is so quick.
Yeah.
Like you can literally like run a workshop, go up and have a conversation for somebody and just fix their form or whatever. Talk about their training, try and help them, you know? And that person like instantly is going to be like, I'm going to see this person every day and this person helped me. So they're on my radar.
Yeah.
Where people just think like, oh, put online coach in your bio and fucking everyone just floods to you. It's like, there's a lot of work that goes into it.
Having an Instagram page that says you're an online coach is exactly the same as having a profile board in your gym.
Yeah.
It does fucking nothing.
Agreed.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Unless you're an 11, like it does nothing.
Yeah. Or you're just exceptionally jacked or strong.
Yeah. Or like an 11. Yeah. Either from like just pure attractiveness.
11 on the jacked attractiveness or strength scale.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's,
yeah.
It's, yeah, it's not what people think.
Yeah. I just think,
I also think too, sorry, if you have trouble sticking to stuff you said you were going to do in the gym and you're out for that is online coaching, it's not going to work because it's way fucking harder.
Yeah.
Because you don't have an appointment to show up to. At least you can kind of get by if you've got clients.
Yeah.
And you'll get referrals and there's more people and people will see you on the gym floor and all that kind of stuff. So if you're just good at your job, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
You'll probably still get paid. You won't be on the $3,000 end of that scale if you're just good at your job, but you can get by. If you take that mentality online, no one gives a fuck.
Nah.
If you're just good at your job. You have to have everything and you have to show up and you have to be consistent with it and you have to allow 4 to 6 week lead times.
Yeah.
Like there's no, fuck, I lost 3 clients, I'll get on the phone.
Yeah.
For most PTs, like you have to be consistent with content for at least 6 weeks to start getting any traction. And most people give up after 2 no's on the phone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, it's a really interesting... Why do you think it's on a pedestal so much? Because it's a lifestyle?
They just think, it's the flexibility thing. It's like, oh, I don't have to get up at 5 a.m. to train this client. Like, I'm tired. I don't have to come back.
Yeah.
You know, but there was... Sure, there's a necessary kind of startup where you've got to kind of put a bit of extra time and effort in to get your PT business going. But then after that, that's like on you, on like how it runs.
Yeah.
Like we always work towards our perfect week and we're like, cool, like make changes, move forward, make changes, move forward. It's not an accident that like you and I both ended up like not working the periods that we didn't want to.
Yeah.
Look, because we were like, I was like, I don't want to do nights. It's too busy. It's hard. The gym's kind of almost impossible to program and train with.
Yeah.
So I just did all mornings up to like 11 o'clock. And I think I did 2 evenings and I did like 2 sessions.
Yeah.
So it's like, I worked towards that because I wanted to. People fall into the trap of just running a shitty face-to-face business and then they go, oh, well, it'd just be great to sit on my laptop all day.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, sitting on the laptop all day, there's a trade-off for that.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, how are you going to get your clients?
Yeah.
You know, and then of the clients that you get, it's like, what systems do you have to make sure that you can serve them to the maximum capacity? Mm. And it's like, if you can't troubleshoot a squat in real life, you can't fucking do that over the fucking internet.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that in a video. If you can't have a conversation with someone face-to-face and find a solution or an objective for that person to work towards in that particular conversation, you're not going to be able to do that over a check-in.
Yeah, if you're still saying you need better clients, that's the warning sign of all of those things.
100%.
It's like you're not getting to the point where you're bought in enough that your clients are progressing to the way that they should be.
Yeah.
Because like we've had Gen Pop clients behave like powerlifters, behave like bodybuilders, behave like athletes that go to work 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
And have training like 4th in the priority list because you set up the structures and stuff for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they move as well as any athlete. They eat as well as any athlete. They recover as well as any athlete.
Yep.
And people are out here like, I want athletes.
Yeah.
Athletes are fucking annoying because they get great results.
Yeah, because
without doing any of that.
A lot of them are pretty gifted.
They're just good at the thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, actually, we actually have to go back to basics. Like the most mind-boggling thing that put this into perspective for me was one of our old trainers got a nutrition support gig at St. Kilda Footy Club, and their nutrition workshop was around the importance of having a protein shake after training.
Yeah.
That was the depth of their nutrition. I was like, I've got mums.
Yeah, just
that are fucking
spacing their protein more optimally like, than that.
Yeah, that know their fucking macros and blah, 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 blah. Like, these are elite athletes on at minimum 100 grand a year.
Yeah. The AIS, they give you this booklet. Mm. Well, they used to, because even the same when we did our placement, and it was like, have some orange juice and a bit of pasta before you go to your training session, guys. Like,
yeah, it's wild.
Just, yeah, I think obviously they've done their best to like dumb it down so it's, I guess, digestible.
Yeah,
lack of a better term. But
so the point I'm trying to make there is, I've seen you do it. I did it myself, and I've seen all the other successful trainers do it. Is they take quote unquote Gen Pop low priority, like they put training in the low priority in their life, and turn them into weapons.
Yeah.
Those people don't complain about wanting better clients.
Yeah.
Because they can create them.
Yeah.
So if you can't do that in face-to-face environment, you can't do it online.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I was thinking about this last night when I was cooking dinner, because I'm a weirdo. Now more than ever, keeping your clients is the most important thing.
Mm.
Being able to retain them.
Yeah.
And like we always talk about, like, yeah, sure, it's good to like get clients, but it's more important to keep them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's where like client experience is everything, and how you guys deliver your service and get the outcome for the person. They're going to be the things that determine that lifespan of that client.
Yep.
And from a metric perspective, we use things like lifetime value and blah, blah, blah. So part of keeping that client is all of the things that we just spoke about: relationships, skill set, systems. You can't build all of those things and have the experience to work with somebody to get them that outcome over a long period of time if you're inexperienced.
Yeah.
And the best experience you can get is, or the best way to build experience and to fortify your intuition, is to have as many human engagements as possible in that space.
Yeah.
So you need to train as many people as you can in a period of time. I don't know what that period of time is. You know, like 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, whatever.
I don't think you can put a time on it, because it's I agree. You know, the 15-year coach that's still shit.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And that's what, I guess that's what kind of, without going on a tangent somewhere else, contradicts that like mastery, that 10,000 hour thing. Yeah. It's like if you do 10,000 hours of like no progression.
Yeah, it's conscious practice.
Yeah, that's, it's like, it's got to be growth and development. But yeah, like I just think that, we obviously want flexibility. We obviously want to be able to scale. We obviously want you guys to have freedom and make more money and work with more people. And online does allow you to do that. I have clients that are in a demographic that we're way outside of like the norm of the people that go to the gym that I used to work at.
Yeah.
So I totally acknowledge that that gives you the scope to do that. But that doesn't mean that where you guys are working right now and the fact that you have to go into the gym and train people, that you're lesser of a person, you're not where you guys need to be, and that there is this huge rush to be online and be online only.
Yeah. Yeah, I still think that the hybrid...
Yeah.
Inside your first 5 years, the hybrid model is everything.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you really like coaching, I think that you want to have...
Yeah.
Like, I love the fact that I can still spot and, you know, cue things and, you know, just operate the same way I used to day after day on the gym floor, because I was like, this is why I got into this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like, can you, my moment of recognition that I was time to get out of the gym was, we had a huge product on the table, a huge development on the table that I knew was going to take a lot of my time.
Yeah.
And that our growth was limited by my time in the gym.
Yeah.
As a whole. That combined with, I was in a position where every single client I was working with at that time was on autopilot.
Yeah.
They didn't need me in the gym anymore.
Yeah.
So unless you're there, that would suggest to me your skill set still needs development to get the people you're working with to that position.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like the fucking six clients that went to the bikini competition and the other five clients that went to the powerlifting meet. It's not just those nine people.
Yeah.
I had 25 clients.
Yeah, yeah. It's like...
So there's another 15 people lifestyle just clients. Went to the gym.
Yeah. Yeah.
That no longer needed me to be there. And if you saw them squat, they squatted as well as any of my athletes. And if you saw them eat, they ate just as well as the bikini athletes. Like, you know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah. I call them lifestyle clients now instead of gym pop.
Yeah.
That's a better terminology.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. So yeah, that's all I've got to say on it. Like, I'm going to change the narrative. Like, I'm going to change the message.
Mm.
Like, I don't need to glorify my lifestyle. Sometimes it's hard.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'd love to be able to go in the gym.
Yeah.
And see people and, you know, use my skill set that I know I thrive in the face-to-face environment. Like, sometimes I feel like I sit at a computer and just waste my talent.
Yeah.
But then I know that, like, you know, I've got courses to make and products to develop and the business has to grow and we have to direct it in the direction that it needs to go. And I knew that I was limiting the growth of the business because of that too.
Yeah.
And it's like, I could have made a lot more money. If it's about money, I could have been at the gym doing that because I was making heaps more money just doing online coaching, being a face-to-face coach.
Yeah. It's about impact as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's the other thing is moving online can, it's not always, it can reflect a self-serving goal.
Yeah.
I think you got to be really careful with that.
Yeah.
Because if you're going online just because it's like it's better time for money and it's scale and it's business and blah, 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 like there's people on the other end. And if you don't have the passion for the people, you'll actually find it really difficult. It'll be way less fulfilling and you'll find it really challenging to do.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So,
what's up, guys? You're listening to the STC Fit Learning Podcast brought to you by ourselves. Feel free to go check out our website, so stcfitlearning.com. On there, we have a bunch of free resources, including how to niche your business, how to actually sell during consults, and a free programming template, plus our business scorecard, which you can go and take and see how you stack up in the industry based on what we think is elite and how to become the best trainer in your gym, in your town, and in the industry. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. If you take a screenshot and tag us, we really, really appreciate it. It really helps get this message out to help improve our industry and keep people in their personal training careers. Enjoy the app.
Yeah, that's all I have to say on that.
I like
it. Which was a lot to say.
So, my podcast review this week from Modern Wisdom, hacking all their content yet again. Applying it to fitness.
Cool.
So there's an episode I listened to about video games.
Oh, yeah.
And how it was really cool. You should listen to it because it's like, I'm not going to unpack it and remember it today.
Is it going
to
make me feel like a piece of shit or?
No, it'll be interesting to see how much of it you sit outside the bell curve and how much you sit inside the bell curve of the trend.
Yeah.
But a few interesting things came up. So one of them is that if you won the previous game, you're infinitely more likely to win the next game. And if you lost, you're more likely to lose the next game.
Interesting.
So,
is this like a game that doesn't have influence from other players?
No.
Oh, really?
So, fuck, like Fortnite and shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck, this guy doesn't play Warzone.
So, yeah, if you win, you are less likely, you're more likely to win again.
Yeah,
if
right.
you lose, you're more likely to lose again.
Interesting.
And the preface around this previously has been like, if you lose an exchange, something happens, and then you're obviously less likely to win the next one.
Yeah.
If it's a physical exchange, then it's like, well, you have to go lick your wounds. You've been shoveled down the hierarchy, so by the time you come back, like...
The only parallels I can relate to this right now is golf.
Yeah.
If I hit a bad shot,
yeah,
bruh, it's over.
Yeah, and that I think that's a great parallel. And what I was thinking about was like the phone call or the consult.
Yeah, of course.
If you miss a consult, you're way more likely to miss the next one. If you close it, you're way more likely to miss it.
We have discussions sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like we're okay, but we don't think we are.
Yeah.
Because it's a confidence thing.
100.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. That's good. I like it.
So then I was kind of thinking like, what are the best strategies to get out of that?
Yeah.
And it's like knowing it and just fronting up.
Yeah.
Like just doing it until you win. And we've been talking about like this stack-proof thing.
Yeah. It's
like, well, what can you win at? So the whole idea around this like video game thing, they did this fucking wild test, right? So they put people in a room, put men in a room, and they did a live conversation with a woman.
Yep.
But they were told that it was for the winner. So it'd be like me and you are both going to have a conversation with the woman. And then whoever she likes more, she's going to book a coffee date with.
Yeah.
And then they studied the reactions. So the losers of that exchange, at the end of the study, they were like, oh, before you go, we've got these video games here and we've got to test them out. We've got another study coming up next month. Which one would you play? Which one do you think we should do?
Yeah.
They had three violent video games and they had three normal video games.
Yeah.
The losers?
Yeah.
Violent. Not all, but heavily favored violent video games.
Yeah.
And the winners, all heavily favored non-violent video games.
So I'm a loser.
Maybe. So that was really interesting because it's like it's a chance for you to redeem yourself.
I wonder as an avid video game player, I wonder how difficult those games were though. Because sometimes a non-violent video game can be really challenging and your likelihood of winning is really low.
Yeah.
And then most of the games that involve violence are like you can just set the difficulty to easy and just and fucking win. Kill everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, but and that even leans into the theory though, right? It's like I can do that and I can win.
That's where I was going from a difficulty perspective, not the fact that like they just like violence.
Yeah, it's not a violence thing. It's just that I can assert myself on this.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I can subscribe to that.
Yeah, and so they're also kind of investigating this idea that it actually gives you a false sense of social worth, like your perceived...
Yeah, because you're fucking winning all the time.
Your perceived status is actually increased and the video game thing's interesting because when you think of a video game player, it's like some guy in his mum's basement eating Cheetos. Like, that's the video gamer, right?
No, I've had a lot of people troll me and they're like, oh, you're probably some fat virgin. I'm like, yeah, bro.
But they're suggesting that people who play violent video games are more status driven, which would make sense for you in your $90 shirt right now. Roll the kicks out. So that's interesting as well. And then when I started to think about it, the people I know that are not dungeon dwellers, that's too harsh, but like that are like really depth. You've all
the
met
the 5% from Comic-Con. No, I'm kidding.
You've met the overconfident loser.
Yeah. I don't know who's worse, bro.
But you know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, it's like 100%.
You've met that overconfident loser who's found a thing that gives them a false sense of status.
Yeah.
That then they can push forwards, which is super interesting.
That and person's very dangerous.
I think coming back to
their own self.
I think coming back to online, I think that happens too.
Yeah.
Because people with particular, let's call it genetic advantages, strong, jacked, hot. Things come quite easily, and then it's like they perceive themselves as an authority, the thing that so you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't want to sound like a salty
no, I get it.
I don't want to come across like salty, like, oh, they got it so fucking easy, but it's like
there's
there's a lot of people that put themselves in a position of authority that maybe haven't,
or it's perceived by them, and
yeah,
we even see in business, we've mentored people, and it's like,
Yeah, you once you pull the lid back a little bit, you're like, there's no substance here.
Yeah, like, you need to do all these things, and they're like, no, I've got this.
Yeah.
And like, everything's fine. It's like, it's not fine.
It's not, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
That's a really self-detrimental characteristic to possess too much of.
So,
like, you can back yourself in certain situations when the chips are down, but not all the time.
Yeah.
Where you just have this like...
Oh, you should have confidence, but you...
But just this naivety that things are okay when they're not.
Yeah.
It's like, bro.
Yeah, but
like,
have
a look around you and like assess what's going on here.
Yeah. You know how you're like, sometimes you're like, fuck, you must have a massive dick.
Yeah.
It's just like to have that much...
Yeah, it's like what? Yeah.
Posture and not be doing anything really successful with your life. It's like, you must have a massive cock.
Yeah, it's like, doesn't make a lot of money for a lot of people though.
Yeah, well that's or but no, of, just like the air about you is like, yeah. I'm the king. Yeah. It's like you look at all the metrics that you would look at to establish status, relationship, potentially income,
cock size,
social positioning, physique, whatever it is. And it's like, well, all of those things are missing, so it must be the dick. So I found that really interesting. And then I worked out why I haven't been sucked into the video game rabbit hole.
Okay.
Well, I figured it out.
Why?
Because if you consistently lose, because the same way in that winning a video game will perceptually make you have a false sense of status in real life.
Yeah.
Losing can do that too.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So because I never played non-sport based video games, pretty much anything other than racing I didn't play.
Yeah.
So now...
all you play is that.
Going into Fortnite, getting my ass whooped.
Yeah.
I'm having it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'll play career mode.
Yeah.
Here and there. And I usually play it with Amy for fun.
Yep.
But if I want to compete,
yeah,
I play racing games.
Yeah.
Because I can win. And yeah, I can go head to head with someone and be like, I'm more talented than you and I can beat you.
But without tooting my own horn, like when I was younger, I was exceptionally good at playing video games.
Yeah.
Like almost, it wasn't popular back then to be competitive and make a career. If I was 12 years old again now, I would be 100% be going down that route.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really impressed.
That's probably why I play now.
A side note, I was really impressed how well I performed at go-karts.
At go-karting?
When we went karting, yeah.
Like you were good.
I was third fastest for the month.
That doesn't surprise me at
90
all.
Kilos.
Yeah.
So think about all the 15-year-old kids that are good.
That doesn't surprise me one bit. You have a fucking simulator.
Yeah. But I was surprised how much that actually carried over.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. Like, that, I'm actually... like, I shouldn't have been a second faster than Dad. Like,
yeah.
It's also got a lot of shots. A lot of
you listening
history.
There, mate?
I was not happy.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. And I sometimes come out of that room.
Yeah.
And Amy's like, how'd you go?
Yeah.
Because it's like, my mood could be dependent.
Bro, I'm the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially
a little bit of lag or packet loss.
Whoa. The way iRacing works is like they run races every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But each category usually only runs every hour.
Yeah.
So if you're like a bit off, so like last night, for example, hadn't played in a while, 15 minutes before the actual event started, practice.
Yeah.
Me learning the track, blah, 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 blah. Get mine a little bit. Then you do 2 minutes practice, 8 minute qualifying, 20 minute race.
Yeah.
First corner, I made a mistake and damaged my car.
Damn.
I was fucking gutted. Held on, and I was like, so you get a rating of where you're rated in all the other drivers. I was like, if you finish there, you get good points. If you finish below there, you don't. So I was holding on to that pretty well, and then someone just fucking nailed me.
Ugh.
And I was like, I only have an hour to play this tonight, and you've taken that from me. Because you're shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can see, and that's it. If I played video games, I'd be like, get my ass kicked by 10-year-olds, and I'd just leave upset.
Yeah.
So I don't do it.
Yeah. I can see it working both ways. Like people would, or even just like the younger generation who maybe just lean into the video game stuff a little bit more than like, you know, other things, other activities, like just always setting it on easy.
Yeah.
Always winning, never really experiencing like challenges and losses. Yeah. And I'm not saying it's like a really impactful way of building resilience, but it is a contributor.
Yeah,
and it's going to lean into like you becoming more fortified as a human, because life's not fucking peaches and cream, you know. Yeah. Like there's a lot of adversity that we experience, and I think that, you know, those challenges, even how big or small, they all equate to who we are and how we deal with those challenging times.
Yeah,
and then just setting everything on easy and just like experiencing
God mode,
you know,
cheap.
Yeah, just no adversity. It's like fuck, man. Like I don't know if I want to set someone up. Like if I ever did. You know, heaven, like God forbid, whatever, like have a family, because it's not in the plan for me at the moment. I would not be like, dude, easy street for everything. Like I'd want to see struggle. I'd want to see challenge. I'd want to see you win.
Yeah.
And I'd definitely try and set you up to win sometimes. Yeah.
But I'm going to be putting in that sim time so you don't beat me in the
game. Yeah. It's like, bro, if we play mini golf, I'm going to fucking hammer you.
Yeah.
It's like, I need to see that, you know, you need to experience struggle.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
And I, like, even now, like, sometimes if I am, you know, venturing, playing a game or whatever, it's like, I'm going to set it on the hardest difficulty.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to learn, and then I'm going to go, cool, I don't want to be just coasting through.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, that's, with everything, I'm like, it just can't be easy all the time.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, That's why I picked the most like worst hobby for myself, which is bodybuilding, because it's hard and I'm not great at it.
Yeah, yeah.
But golf. It's like, yeah, and golf, yeah.
Which is also really hard and we're not good at it.
Try and do it whilst bodybuilding.
Yeah. So I think tying back to career and being a personal trainer, like everything you just said applies to that as well.
100%.
And it's like, is it chicken or the egg thing? Is it doing the 1,000 phone calls builds the resilience? Or is it you're able to do the 1,000 phone calls because you're naturally resilient? You play the video game again because you want to win. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think everything's changeable. Yeah. Like I come from that growth mindset thing that you can kind of change. You can learn any skill that you need to learn.
Yeah.
You just have to find the grade of exposure that works for you at the time.
Yeah.
So if that is, 1,000 phone calls to get whatever outcome, if it's 32 days of posting every day on Instagram, like... Yeah. Whatever it is that friction is, to be able to just fucking, right? I know it's going to be uncomfortable. I know it's going to be hard. I know I'm going to be shit at it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to continuously do it anyway. Mm. I see that parallel really, really strongly in being successful as a business owner.
Yeah. Well, they both kind of, lean into each other a bit. Like the more, the worse you are at something, the more you practice, the better you're going to get. The better you're going to get, the more impact you're going to have and the more addictive that's going to be. So, the more you're going to do it.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? That's kind of where you want to have. But you have to have the acknowledgement that there's going to be a time where it's going to be hard and it's going to be tough.
All I can think about now having discussed it is going home and playing sim. Because it's like that motherfucker. I could have won that race and I didn't.
Yeah.
I had the second fastest lap of the whole race.
Yeah, right.
With a broken car.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
You know what I reckon play video games more than I watch TV is because I have friends that I play with.
Yeah, so the connection.
Because when they're like, oh, I can't play tonight, I don't play.
It's interesting.
Yeah, so I don't even like go and thrive for like to play it, to win and to do whatever. I'm like, sorry, this isn't fun anymore because I don't get to chat and chill out.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, get iRacing.
But that's just me. Nah. I don't need another fucking rabbit hole. No, I'm thinking about making a golf sim.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've been looking up. My brother's got a projector he doesn't want, so I've been thinking about taking that, buying a TrackMan.
Yeah, yeah.
And I reckon once we move the stuff out of the garage to the gym, I'll be able to fit a sim and the car in.
Yeah, sick.
Yeah, so that's the plan.
Cool, you see even more of me.
It's fine. I said I need more human interaction, make more friends. Maybe I can make more friends just doing just that.
Rent it out.
Hey, sim in my joint.
Yeah.
I'll just be the dude that has all the cool shit. Everyone just comes to use my stuff and pretend to be my friend.
Yeah.
It's all right. It'll work for me. I don't care.
So before we keep going, I just want to give you guys a little message about our Standout PT program. So Standout PT has been designed for personal trainers who want to sustain a long-term career in fitness, but right now they're sick of chasing clients, they're not making enough time for money, and they're super frustrated with the results that they're getting in their business, and they can't see themselves being here in 3 to 5 years' time. If you want to know more about the Standout PT program, head to stcfitlearning.com. Head to programs and all the details are there, and you can book in your free exploration call where we can have a look and see whether or not that would actually be a suitable program for where your business is at right now. And back to the episode. So this one's interesting as well, right? So okay. I think it was an Aussie guy. It was on the video game side. He played 500 games of Halo.
Hmm.
He played 1/3 of them with no voice. He played another 1/3 with a female voice, and he played another 1/3 of it with a male voice.
Like he was playing...
Using.
Yeah.
So he had automatic buttons that he could say phrases, whether they were male or female.
Yeah.
So on Halo, you can only interact with your team. You can't interact with the opposition.
Yeah.
They measured positive and negative reactions based on which one you used. So they had a control where you said nothing.
Can already work
and
out.
And they had male and then they had female.
This is going to be,
So... Regardless of, and then he played of those 1/3, so 1/6, was played well and he was very good versus played meh.
Yeah.
And they could collate all this data and be like, well, you scored this out of the team, so you were ranked this on the hierarchy in the group.
Mm.
This is how people above you behaved, this is how people below you behaved. And no matter how performance was, the female voice got way more negative comments.
Of course.
Predominantly, but only from people below them.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
So the note that I wrote that I didn't write in my phone while I was driving, because I wouldn't do that.
Have you spoken to your phone?
Yes. It was, how to tell a woman you're a cuck? Attack them. So, old mate, like, you're getting a bit bulky.
Yeah.
Is, you're more impressive than me at the thing that I'm trying to do. So, I need to tear you down. Because in this hierarchy, if I can pull you down, then I get closer to being on your level.
Yeah, which you couldn't be any which more is wrong.
Fucking wild though, isn't it?
Yeah, because it actually makes you even further away.
Well, the theory is that if you... So in that, there's a couple of ways in that kind of context. And this will go a couple of different directions. So one is if you can impact that, particularly a woman, enough that she doesn't come back, there's less competition.
Yeah.
So it moves you up the hierarchy if you're including... Because society, the way they explain it, the society used to have intersexual
so this is a
competition.
Man, this is a man who now has said something to this woman and she doesn't go back to the gym.
He's moved up the hierarchy in the gym.
Yeah.
Because there's one less person that's better than him.
Yeah, okay.
So it improves
his
status.
I was thinking of it from like a mating perspective. I'm like, well, if the woman's gone.
And that's the other one, right?
Like, if the woman's gone, he's actually decreased the odds.
Our culture has shifted from intersexual competition, so male versus male, to impress women.
Yeah.
Laborer, strength, etc. was very important.
Yeah.
Now it's more intellectual. And we men in particular, haven't caught up.
Yeah.
So if a woman outperforms in any way a male,
yeah,
they don't see it as the same... You're not part of the same group.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It's us versus them.
So it's like, I'll just get you to not play. Rather than we're just all people on a hierarchy.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're specifically a woman. Yeah. I'm embarrassed because you beat me, even though it's intellectual, it has nothing to do with physical strength.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you're a competitive powerlifter and Keita out-totals you by 2.5, it's like, oh my God, that sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the corporate world and in PT and all that kind of stuff, it's like, you're all equals.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with...
Correct.
Yeah, so it's you've got to be really careful to not be like, it's because she's a chick or whatever. Like, you got to watch that, I think.
Yeah, 100%.
Because it'll be your natural response if a female is outperforming you. You will get butthurt about it because you attach it to a physical thing.
Yeah, you're like,
you don't I know understand. That it's that, but you're just like, no, fuck you, because a woman is beating me. Yeah. And I think it's not a justification, but if a woman is aware of that too, that it's like they're pissed off because they're perceiving this as a challenge on a physical where they perceive they should have an advantage because they base everything based on reptilian brain of physical outcomes. Mm. But it's not.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets it all dicey.
Yeah, I understand that.
So the winners win thing, coming back to that.
Yeah.
Do you know what Pareto's law is?
I've heard of it. It rings a bell, but
so
I couldn't be able to...
Price's law, which is the 80-20, which a lot of people talk about.
Yeah.
Then there's Pareto's law, which is another level deeper, which is the square root of the group.
Yeah.
Will achieve, accumulate, whatever, 50% of the outcome.
Yeah.
So I think if you have 20 trainers in your gym, 4 people will have 50% of the clients.
Yep.
So, if you win, you tend to win more.
Yeah.
And that's that cycle playing out in itself again.
Yeah.
What's really interesting, and that comes back to this, like, men being fucking idiots in gyms and on social media and shit.
Yeah.
Which I think is even worse than social media. They show a graph of 10 men... 10 women. And it's like the top status. So consider status to be physical attractiveness, income, reliability, charisma, like an appealing mate.
Yeah.
Number one, big dick. All of those things. Like the top person theoretically has access to all 10 women.
Yeah.
The fifth top male only has access to the bottom five.
Yeah.
But the bottom, the 10th woman
has access to
number one.
Yeah. Well, we spoke about that.
Which is...
Didn't we spoke about that like 2 weeks ago?
Did we?
Well, you know, we were talking about with the
Oh, the swiping stuff.
The stuff with the character or the
What's the term?
Like the preferences that they have.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like people that are like a three are like, this person must make this much. They must do this. Yeah. They must do that.
Because they can.
Yeah, where like from a male perspective, they're just like fucking.
Yeah.
Let's just play the game of odds right now.
Yeah.
Says the guy that's like never played that game.
We used to have a mate who used to hold his phone sideways and walk on it with his fingers.
Yeah,
so just like continuously swipe down. Fuck, bro. Just sending it. Whatever comes back, comes back.
Hey, it's a game of numbers. We like it. More calls, the more likely you'll get clients. Fuck it. Do the same thing with chicks.
So there's a lot of, back to the Conor McGregor thing, there's a lot of memes going around at the moment that she's maybe not number one on that list.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
But had access to Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
Who in theory at the stadium in Miami has a large percentage.
Yeah. But fuck, this is going places. But don't you see that even when you look at like, you know, like married couples who've like cheated on their wives and shit. Like they're never,
it's not always better.
Well, very rarely is it better.
Yeah.
You know, because there's probably like, it's a little bit more adventurous, I guess, you know, like, because they have the, you know, like the influence over the person, we'll call it.
Yeah.
So like, they're just maybe doing some fucking weird shit that they have asked their wife to do, and their wife told them to fuck off. Like, and they just can't cure that itch anywhere. So they're like, oh, fuck it. Let's just do this.
Yeah.
So yeah, like you see that a lot.
Yeah. So it's an interesting dynamic in that whole space.
Yeah.
Like
this podcast is fun.
Yeah, it's gone. I'm like down this huge human behavior hole, rabbit hole right now.
Yeah, this is fun. It's so polar to what we just spoke about on the other podcast too. Talking about base jumping.
So yeah, I think I was just sort of listening to it, and like the whole podcast is kind of specifically around video games, and I was like, well, what? This is just human behavior. It's not video games.
Mm.
Like, what is the takeaways that you can take into the gym? And like, we have, I think it's about 50-50 now, male to female ratio in standout.
Yeah.
Maybe even more women at the moment.
I think it's 50-50.
It swings.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see. I asked a question like on Tuesday during the workshop, like, put your hand up if you think you're disagreeable. And I think it was me and you and Jess.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of the other girls put their hand up. And then you look at the problems within their business, and a lot of it comes down to their lack of disagreeableness.
Yeah.
Their willingness to hold to a contract, to put a price in place, to demand a fee, to whatever. And they just get pushed around in their own businesses a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, you see obviously the flip sides of it with men. I worked with a woman who used to have a male trainer who just, she's like, you still tell me when I fuck up.
Yeah.
You still tell me if my squat's shit.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like you're telling me I'm shit.
Yeah.
You're just telling me that it needs work.
Needs work, yeah.
And she'd had a male personal trainer in the past who just made her feel like,
it's just not good enough.
Yeah. That's just do better.
Yeah.
Which I wonder, is that a
reflection of what very, we just spoke about.
Yeah, it's a very good athlete that I'm speaking about. It's like, is that triggered because, like, the video game thing? It's like the chick that did better than you in the video game, take them down.
Mm.
So then, A, it raises my status, maybe for coitus. Coitus accents. Or is it just that hierarchical thing of, like, well, if a woman's doing better than me, it must mean that I'm shit because I should have a physical advantage, even though it's not about a physical advantage in this context.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting thing. But it's like,
very.
There's also, which I find really interesting as well, all the men who did better than the women were super supportive. But that was true for both men talking to men and men talking to women.
Yeah.
So if you're successful, you're more likely to be supportive of other people to help them get better.
Yeah, that's
a
no-brainer.
So in iRacing, it's always the guy that's first or second or has the highest rating that's like, oh, follow my line, bro. Or you don't have to lift there. Like, they're always just given like little pointers because they want the competition.
Yeah.
they want someone to be able to push them, equal to them, to actually beat them, so then they get the reward. Because if you just set the game too easy, it's
boring. If you're smoking people, it's not fun.
Yeah. So that's interesting as well.
Yeah.
So it's
only a certain type. They're a certain type of breed, though.
Yeah. But it's a thing to reflect on. If you're scrolling through social media and you're salty, have a think about where you perceive yourself in the hierarchy.
Yeah.
Because it probably says to me that you perceive yourself below all the people you're mad at.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Which is not worth your energy. Spend time moving yourself up the hierarchy.
Correct.
Instead.
Yeah.
It's
probably why I don't really know what anyone's fucking doing, because I don't care.
Yeah. Just doing out there.
Hey, and you see this from this person? No. Nah.
Yeah. Yep. So, the Pareto's Law thing.
Yeah.
Another rate rise is coming.
Mm.
Spoke to an accountant who only works with small business owners yesterday. So, is turning business away. She's so busy. And said that pretty much all of her clients right now are at a plateau.
Yeah.
Very few of them are growing.
Yeah.
Which we are. We have for the quarter anyway. So if that's true, what we saw happen the last time there was a huge threat to the fitness industry was the people outside of that Pareto's Law.
Yeah.
Lost.
Yeah.
And they lost and they lost and they lost and they lost until they left.
Correct.
People inside that Pareto's Law. So imagine that 20 trainer scenario. You have four trainers in there doing, say they're all doing 40 sessions a week.
Yeah.
On average. Obviously, it's probably scaled within that top four, blah, blah, blah. The average of the bottom group is 20 sessions a week.
Yeah.
If everyone in the gym loses 50% of their business, the people doing 40 still have 20.
Mm.
The people doing 20 only have 10.
Yeah.
They can't pay the bills.
Yeah.
So they leave. There's four in the top echelon. There's 16 in the bottom echelon. 16 trainers that go from 10 to 20 is still 160 clients.
Yeah.
If half of them leave, that's 80 clients that are still willing to do personal training, but it's not enough to sustain those 8 clients. So where do they go?
The trainers, you mean?
Yeah. They can't sustain the trainer business.
Yeah.
So there's 8 trainers that have to leave. That leaves half of that. So 80 clients. On the table.
Yeah.
Where do they go?
To the
top four.
Top four, yeah.
So they all go back to the
40.
Or go back to 40.
Or go back to whatever. Yeah.
40. Yeah, 40 is the math, yeah.
Yeah.
So they all go back to 40 and they're unaffected by the downturn because...
Yeah, because the bottom
they're on the top.
Fell out of the system and...
Yeah. And then you get like the rich get richer, poor get poorer social argument. But in an isolated event, that's what happens.
Yeah.
So in a quiet time like now... We had the conversation yesterday, like, we need to be in the biggest... We need to push harder now to be at the front of people's minds because people are going to drop out.
Yeah.
Online coaches are going to disappear.
Yeah.
Face-to-face coaches are going to disappear like they did during lockdowns and we grew. Mm. Well, we put on like fucking 80 online clients or some shit in a quarter. Because we had put ourselves at the top of that Pareto's
law.
So, if you're worried about the circumstances now, just join that group.
Yeah. Time to go to work.
Yeah. Just be the best in your gym.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine.
Yeah. I like it.
I thought you were going to say more about that, but that's fine.
You kind of just said it. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, but...
Yeah, totally. I feel like people listening to this podcast have the capacity to be that in that group.
Yeah.
Because you're here.
Yeah.
So you're not listening to us. Like, as much as the banter is good, you know, it's like the take homes are even better.
Yeah.
So it's like you're obviously listening to this because you want to thrive in your development. You want to thrive in your business. You want to thrive in your career. So you have all the characteristics necessary to be that person. If you're not there, you're missing it in terms of application maybe or... Mm. You know, just organizing your time or whatever. But it's like have a really good think about, you know, what those four or five people in your gym are doing.
Mm.
How can you get there?
Yeah. And that's it. It's not... We talked about the criteria for the male to be high on the hierarchy of status.
Yeah.
And it was like there's 5 categories. The categories for being in the top echelon in your gym isn't sessions.
No.
So if you don't have sessions right now, doesn't mean you're not potentially in that group.
Yeah.
It's showing up, doing the outreach, talking to people on the gym floor, mm-hmm. getting results, providing a great service, doing your social media content, like all of those, ticking all of those boxes and being the guy, the girl in the gym.
Yeah.
Which I think is what set us apart. We just became, you walk into Good Life Point Cook in 2016, you knew who STC was in fucking 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's not about how many sessions you have right now. It's how you're showing up that'll set you apart into that Pareto's equation. And then you will be in the position for when other people drop out, those clients have to go somewhere.
Yeah.
That might as well be you.
Yeah, totally.
So I think that's a really important message. What's up, guys? Another quick break. I just wanted to jump in and tell you guys, remind you guys about the STC Fit Learning Mentorship. Now, our mentorship's been running since about 2016, where we've developed trainers through their first year of business in personal training and allowed them to leapfrog the first 5 years of mistakes that we made. If you're currently studying, looking to finish in the next month or so, or you're looking for someone to help you out with mentoring and all that kind of stuff, jump on, have a look at the details for the mentorship at stcfitlearning.com. Head to programs and mentorship and all the details are there. And you can come and be an STC Fit coach for an entire year. It includes all of our education and direct mentoring from our head coaches. Back to the episode. Debbie, any good questions or anything during the week?
Not from a business perspective. Like,
we've had lots of good feedback around the content lately.
Yeah.
Which has been cool.
Yeah.
So the six-figure business systems is now gone. You can't get it anymore.
Yeah, yeah. What are we doing next?
We're talking about your first 1K week.
Ah, nice.
So we're speaking to people who are currently studying or just started.
Yeah.
About, how to break, how to get into that top echelon really quickly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to have 4 weeks down the rabbit hole on that. Jess has made an amazing resource on what goes into actually getting your first $1,000 a week.
Yeah, which is that's the first big milestone. Like, I even remember it.
Yeah.
For myself, like,
yeah.
You know, granted, it happened pretty quickly because I had the support around me and, you know, like the work ethic to match.
Yeah.
But it is still some people might be listening to this like, oh, whatever. But it's like, if you're starting out, it's like, that's a pretty significant kind of first milestone. So you can pay your rent, you can, you know, service your bills, and you can still have a little bit on the other side of that to do whatever you want with it. And it just means the only way is up after that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's Jess's resource. It's funny. Like, we actually used to have a course called Your First 1K Week. We've just turned it into a free resource instead of selling it. You're welcome. But when you really look at it, it's like, it's exactly the same to get to $2,000.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
So it starts off with knowing what you're going to fucking do every day.
Yeah.
So we've been talking a lot in this one with this checklist stuff, the foundations of business. It's like just knowing your numbers.
Yeah.
How many calls do you need to make? How many appointments do you need?
Yeah.
How do you make that happen? We spoke last week about, okay, maybe things are tough right now. It's like your metric that is important to you maybe right now is not how many phone calls you make, it's how many appointments you make.
Yeah.
Because the appointments are what leads to the sale.
Yeah.
So making 10 phone calls now versus making 10 phone calls 3 months ago aren't the same.
Yeah, I agree.
So you have to measure the appointments and do what you need to do to get those appointments. Mm. But knowing that takes a lot of stress out of life.
Yeah.
It's like, all I have to do is if I get 5 appointments a week, I'm sweet.
Makes your energy more impactful as well, because you're spending it in the right places. Rather than using your energy stressing about fucking shit that you know you need to do but you don't know what to do, you use that energy to just go, right, let's go all in on this thing because my time is so direct.
Yeah. Yeah. Next, she talks about sales.
Yeah.
So actually getting from point A to point B, that whole process of actually signing someone up.
Yeah, super important.
Really, when you're starting out, like that first $1,000, it's like you just got to get people. You said earlier, like, the best way to gain experience is to train people.
Mm.
If you're not training anyone, you're not gaining any experience.
No.
And you can go and study as much fucking biomechanics, programming, nutrition, whatever that you want. It's not going to get you business without doing the sales part.
Yeah.
So you do the sales part and then you can learn by doing. It's way more effective than another fucking YouTube video on the shoulder.
The shoulder, yeah.
Then she talks about the actual service itself. So once you have them, you need to keep them.
Yeah.
So how to provide good service, how to get results. And then a little bit on social media as well, because nowadays the profile board is nothing. Your Instagram account.
Yeah, social media is pretty impactful now.
Just like, I just needed to know. Yeah. We asked in our workshop during the week, like, out of the 15 first screen on your Instagram, out of those 15 posts, how many of them speak directly to a client problem?
Yeah.
And some of them varied from like 2 to 15.
Yeah.
I think the average
I was pretty critical. I put 9, but
yeah,
I was super critical.
I think the average is about 8.
I'm sure mine would have been 15, to be honest, but
I'm sure it was too. Yeah. You have a cover with a heading on all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't. You never want to be that person. You know, they don't want to be naive enough to be like 15 out of 15.
Yeah, I put 15.
You're the guy that sets things on easy on these video games.
Yeah, maybe.
Set and stuff.
Must be. Yeah.
But yeah, like, that's pretty much it. I'm pumped to deliver the workshop next weekend.
Oh, physique, yeah.
Tuesday, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pumped as for that. It's like, I've gone through, it's funny, like, that evolution. Mm. I only made that workshop, like, or module, I don't know, 15 months ago.
Yeah.
And then just delivery, man.
Yeah.
Just being able to talk. I'm like, fuck, I'm such a better speaker now.
Yeah.
Like, I almost, like, the content's great, but I almost just want to do it again just because I'll be able to just speak
deliver it better.
Much more precise and just, yeah, kind of impactful.
Yeah.
But it's just a really humble acknowledgement that there is growth, like, from a personal perspective.
Yeah, and simplicity comes from understanding complexity better, right?
So yeah.
It's like the more you've applied the complexity, the more simple it is to you, so you can communicate it in a more simple manner.
Yeah, 100%. Even just like, you know, I wanted to redo that whole volume allocation part because I just wasn't happy with it. And even like kind of how I've come about it this time, I'm just like, look, this is a model. It's not perfect.
Yeah.
You know, there's holes in it. It's like, you guys want to challenge me on it, it's fine. This is where the numbers have come from.
Yeah.
You know, these are the outliers of the situation. You can go lower, you can go higher. But I'm like, at the end of the day,
that's a starting point.
Correct. And I'm like, this is actually what's more important is the framework of how we make decisions afterwards.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I've provided that for you. So that was really fun to put together. So I feel like it's kind of bulletproof that part, but it's just like, where do you stop? It's a 3-hour workshop, man. And it's like, you know, you this is how we assign volume. This is how you pick a training style. This is how you distribute over the week. This is, you know, how we periodize, or, you know, if you are to pick a periodization model, understand that like these are really the things that we're working with. And then it's like, make the fucking program.
Yeah.
You know, which is the most important part. So I need to try not to talk too much.
Yeah.
To get through the lab coat stuff into the like moving parts of the program that aren't just like, you know, I feel like most people kind of know like these are what sets are and these are what reps are and this is what, you know, high reps and low reps. Yeah. It's just like, you know, all that shit. And if you don't like do the revision.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is how we program to like, you know, get people in good shape.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm really excited for that.
So the other topic I wanted to talk about, I sort of brought up in my stories yesterday, I think. Obviously,
I've got a good topic too, but I think we can leave it. Yeah, We can leave it because this might go for ages.
That's fine. We have no concept of time right now because Cam's not in the room. I think it was unconscious at the time, but we have been very front-facing focused for the last 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
Built a new website, got the app built, moved to my strength book, really honed in our social media strategy, changed the strategy of the podcast, upped our YouTube game. Just everything that was front-facing has really taken a lot of our attention for the last 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
And we've sort of identified, without even us having a conversation, we do that a lot. It's like, oh, well, what's the next thing?
Yeah.
It's like, well, the next thing is we did this. Now it's like the client experience. That's the dial that we can turn right now.
Yeah.
So,
which we started there and then moved through all these things.
Correct.
And we're back there.
Yeah.
Because January we started improving that.
Yeah.
Then went, these are the chain of events that need to happen to make the rest of the stuff tick.
Yeah.
And now we're back here again.
Yeah. That, what we call it, project excellence.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I when I was thinking through it, I was like, so many trainers don't have, because they don't have a team in particular, they can do so many less things at once.
Yep.
Like that thing, what we just listed, our website, an app, An app means programming, exercise library, all new design, rebuilt the website from scratch means all new copy, reviewing all of our models, all of our onboarding systems.
Still posting 4 to 7 times a week on Instagram.
Everything had to kind of get done.
Yeah.
How do we do YouTube? How do we... Yeah. We both bought cameras that we had to learn to use. Like all of that.
Yeah.
To do that as one person's a lot.
Correct.
We've now identified, okay, where's the lowest hanging fruit to improve our business? It's, you were saying, like hanging on to clients is the most important thing.
Yeah.
We also, if you aren't an avid listener, tune in to Barbells and Banter this week. We, Jason and I have a really cool chat about making friends as an adult.
Yeah.
Basically. And how we're going to leverage community to do partly that.
Yeah.
And we want other people to have the opportunity to do that. So we've been sitting on this Mighty Networks platform for ages. We need to build a community.
Yeah,
now it's like, all right, attention's going there. Course is going to be better. Community is going to be better. The in being part of what we do is going to be a better experience. Mm. Which, yeah, like I said, in my mind, I was thinking about the personal trainers we work with in Standout, and it's like they want to get social media going. They want to get online. They want to improve their service. They want to get the terms and conditions. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, what's the biggest obstacle or the bottleneck in your business right now?
Yeah.
Where's the main thing that's falling apart?
What's the most impactful thing you could do right now on it?
Yeah. Yeah. So if it's, there's no leads, but your retention's good, like,
yeah,
focus on that.
Yeah.
Learn to build a business that attracts people to you.
Yeah.
If you're selling really, really well, but no one's staying, go become a fucking better coach.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Make the service better. Make yourself better at, you know, getting the outcome. Yeah.
Learn the technical skills you need to be able to get the outcomes and to communicate better and do all those things to keep people in your business. So, yeah, I think it's a really important take home for people to think about.
Yeah.
We often talk about, like, go through your business as a client.
Yeah.
And you'll usually, through that process, find the thing.
Yeah, that I feel like that practice we did 2 weeks ago with the guys.
Yeah,
That opened up a lot of conversations for them to have with themselves about their business, and the preceding weeks after that,
the questions have been great.
Everything they've been dialing in on has been because of that activity and because of our, I guess, conscious reminders to them. Like, this is important.
Yeah.
This window is important. How people land on your business is everything.
Yeah, because people are fretting about creating content but never looking at the content.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, so if the start of your business is someone's going to see your profile and then come and want to work with you.
Yeah.
What's your profile look like? Oh, you've got 2 out of 15 posts are actually related to your clients.
Yeah, everything's about you.
Okay, so now you need to focus. That is, start there. If you have a lead issue, people are landing on there and that sucks, that sucks.
Yeah.
Now what's the next step? If your content's good, where do they go?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't even have a link in your bio. You don't have a landing page. You don't have a whatever. Yeah. You got no free giveaway, or there's nothing here to build any value other than looks good. And you'll identify
that. Like your videos.
Yeah. And then you can change that. We're laughing because we did that for 10 years.
Yeah.
Then, okay, so once I book, what's that process like? Oh, it's clunky. We were talking yesterday. There was like 4 emails going out just to onboard one person.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, this can happen before, this can happen after, we can streamline this, and then bang, we have a way better onboarding system. That first 2 weeks is better. Oh my God, my retention's better.
Yeah.
So you can go through every step and see where bottlenecks are.
Yeah.
And then be able to implement changes.
Yeah.
And then I think the challenging part is, if you listen to a podcast like this, you probably listen to other ones.
Yeah.
And there's so much noise of like, oh, I need to do that, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do this.
Yeah, so you just get scattered.
Do one thing and do it really fucking well.
Yeah, that's it. Just do it. Put it, like, tick it off. Yeah, it won't be the last time you do it.
Mm.
Just get into it, get it done so you can move on to the next thing rather than doing like 4 or 5 things halfway and moving on to the next thing because it's exciting and in the forefront of your mind.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting too, like the self-proclaimed, how many personal trainers are self-proclaimed neurodivergent? Like have ADHD, all of us.
Yeah.
It's like we get bored with shit.
Yeah.
So it's hard to sit on the same task and see it all the way through because it's easier to go like, oh, I started my onboarding process, but then I started a reel that I still haven't posted, and then I started this free resource, and it's like nothing's fucking done. So all of this time, your clients actually got nothing out of it.
Yeah.
Versus like, I was really impressed yesterday when you said on Q&A, like, I did a post every day for 30 days.
Yeah.
And it was like, cool, that wouldn't have been fun. It would have been exciting for 10.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's like, this sucks. I know, because I didn't. I was like, yeah, these aren't good enough quality. I need a better system. I'm going to go away and find the system to solve the problem. But to sit in and just do the grunt work for that time period, now we can go like, okay, well, this is the model that works.
Yeah.
And now how do we apply that most effectively across the business?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's super interesting.
Yeah, I agree. It was a challenging experience, but now I'm like, okay, I think I have a good idea of what people like and how to make it more better quality.
Yeah.
Because I did the process enough to have the structure now. It's like I'm scripting things where there's an objective, there's production, like, you know, and I'm like, okay, cool, I've got that now. So now I don't need to post every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frequency is still important because you become irrelevant if you don't post enough, but now it's like it has to be good enough to keep eyeballs
and on. Keeping in mind we're running 4 channels.
Yeah, yeah.
Our own personal ones and 2 business ones.
Yeah,
so it's wild. Like the business ones are getting 6 posts a week.
Yeah, and plus our own and we're just overlapping them, really. Yeah. Like, which is fine.
Yeah. So that is worth considering if you are looking at going down that rabbit hole. Like, posting every day is a big thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you can take the same approach to everything. You can decide, like, I'm going to make 10 phone calls every single day. Mm. Make 10 phone calls every single day for 30 days, you'll have a full book.
Yeah.
But most people can't get past day 10.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think if there's anything I've learned in the last... I've read a book called Essentialism.
Yeah.
And the whole message of that... I think you should read it too, actually, to be honest. Just put it on your list.
Yeah, I can do that.
The whole... You boil the whole book down to our process of what are all the things I need to do and then what is the most impactful thing I could do.
Yeah. I like it.
And then just do that.
Yeah.
And do it until it's done. Or you can't do it right now, do the second most impactful thing.
Oh, fuck. Until man, I feel like experience just running your own business and us organizing our time, I feel like I kind of subconsciously do that now.
Yeah, well, we have to.
Like, everyone's got a to-do list. It's like, that's the most unproductive list ever. As much as people can say to you, have a to-do list, it's like, there needs to be something else that actually you can go, right, which one of these is the focus for the week? Can I do it? No, what's the next one? You've got to have that process, and that's a separate... kind of, you know, adjunct to having the to-do list.
Yeah.
You know, and that's been life-changing for me. Yeah. Like, just in terms of even the transition to just working at home inside my business so much, it's like the to-do list was just getting overwhelming. So I was like, there's more to this system than just having that list.
Correct.
And then, kind of made another kind of layer to it. And now I can just like go, yep, cool, drag, drop, this, that. This is the focus for the week. Nothing else matters.
Yeah.
There's no anxiety. There's no apprehension. Yes, this list is never ending and this long. This list is all that matters.
Yeah, and that was the heading I put on the post, like, business is never done.
Yeah.
It's never done.
Nah.
You'll always go back and want to change stuff. You'll always want to go back and make things better. And we were talking about, like, the exercise tutorial thing that we have.
Yeah.
The trainers think it's fucking awesome. We hate it.
Yeah.
And we're like, we need to go back and do it. But the trainers already think it's good.
Yeah.
So the priority right now is
thing.
Not that.
It's just an ego thing.
Yeah, but
it's
when you look at your to-do list...
myself think. Speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you go review that to-do list and that's on it,
yeah,
it just gets bumped down.
Oh, 100%.
Because it's not the thing that
it's
needs
the
attention right
enough.
Now.
It's not impactful enough. It's just a desire.
And that's
it's
it.
Not a need.
If you're unconscious about your business,
yeah,
you'll go and do that because it's sexy. Yeah.
You'll make the spreadsheet that no one cares about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll go and refilm the thing that you've already done to make it a little bit better that your clients don't care about.
And you're probably subconsciously just moving away from the shit that has the most friction but has the most impact.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, and that's where I was going to kind of speak on just like getting shit done.
Yeah.
And just like not selling yourself the narrative that you need to do 500 different things to start doing the thing.
Oh, fuck me.
You know what I mean? It's like just...
Your morning routine's longer than your fucking work.
Bro, like this... it's a fucking epidemic at the moment of like this... I don't know if it's like the next generation of people like putting just like normal daily tasks as like a significant thing in their day. It's like, oh, I've got the busiest day. And it's like, I got to eat. I got to shower. It's like, no. Like you eat, shower and shit, bro. Like that's just fucking normal. Like that's not a day. That's not a task. Like, you know, you have to do, like, the tasks are the things that are like have to get done to make the most impact in your business, career, you know, your family, whatever.
And then their bio says, I help high achieving women do this. It's like, have you ever met high achieving women?
Yeah.
They do all that shit before fucking 5 a.m.
Yeah, man.
One of my clients recently tagged me in a post going to the gym at 4 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you doing? She's like, I got to work all day. I got a kid. I got this and this. And I'm like, these motherfuckers are like, I had to do my fucking 45-minute meditation before I, like, what?
Yeah. Nah.
And then you're trying to appeal to people that actually have busy lives? Yeah. Man.
No, like, the best way to become successful is doing the fucking shit that you have to do to get there.
Yeah.
Like,
and you know, get there in the shortest possible time.
Yeah. Like, what is it? Success comes from those people that put it in their reach.
Yeah.
Right? So, putting fucking 5 steps before in doing the thing that's making you successful, that's not fucking doing
that. And then,
that.
Yeah. What do you do when you can't? Like, what do you do if you're in an environment where you can't do that?
Yeah.
To get yourself in the perfect, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you talk about that athletes that are Ferraris.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're good athletes, but if they got a little niggle, they're fucking useless.
Yeah.
And then you've just got like,
business doesn't work like that.
You got to be a truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
And I think this whole morning routine, self-care, time to yourself, whatever language you want to use, a fucking nap. I call it a nap. It's not self-care. It's just a nap.
Yeah, you're just tired and you need to sleep.
If your metric is success in business, and that's how you're measuring things. So different if you want to say, well, I had a enlightening day because I was able to sit with my thoughts for 40 minutes. That's great. Don't sell it to me that it's making your business better, because it's not.
No.
Because you could have got to that space in a much shorter period of time.
Agreed.
So if your metric is productivity with the least amount of anxiety with the most impact, you need to be able to attribute a differential in output with that thing that's been put in.
Yeah.
So if you're so tired at 3 o'clock in the afternoon that having a caffeine nap means you get twice the amount of work done in the afternoon than you would have, that is a productive nap.
Yeah.
And you can call it self-care and you can say, yep, this was a net positive to the outcome that I'm trying to achieve. If you're deciding that before you have even done it and you have no correlation that this is a positive experience, then, or a positive outcome to your business, then it was nothing.
Yeah. It's a waste of your time. It's time spent taking you away from being impactful.
Yeah. So we have a 13th week built into our cycles. And Jason and I had the conversation last night. It's like, I've been off sick this week, so I haven't done a lot. I went away last weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm actually happy with how much work I got done considering. But there's a lot of shit that I, like filming, that I wasn't able to do this week that I need to catch up on.
Yeah,
So you were like, it's 13 week. What do you want to do? And I was like, there's shit to do.
Yeah.
I feel fine. I'm actually itching to get back to work because I'm frustrated that I can't.
Yeah.
Like, let's go.
Yeah.
And you were like, I'm sweet. You've got 5 days off or whatever next week.
Yeah.
Long weekend away. So you're in a good spot. It's like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Whereas we introduced that 13th week because in the past, we got to the point where it was like, we're all fucked.
Yeah.
We need a rest.
Yeah.
So it's a conscious thing now. Like, hey, hands up. Who needs a rest right now?
Yeah, we good or
and if
not.
You do, it's totally fine. Like I said to you, like if you need it, take it. But I have to do shit. So yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, I was like, if I take it, it's going to cause more anxiety than not. And I don't actually feel like I still want to show up.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting, the any friction or anything that we've ever experienced in our business has always been week 15.
Yeah.
So it's week 2 of the next quarter.
Yeah.
Because we didn't stop. We didn't have that. All right, pause.
Yeah, I reckon if I didn't have the weekend away, I would take the week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd just be like, time.
Yeah, Queensland was a nice break for me, even though we were sick. It's like, that's enough.
Yeah.
I think it's important to actually reflect, like, is your morning routine, if you have goals, is it contributing to your goals? If your goals is to live a peaceful, low stress day, great. And we're not going to tell you not to do that.
Correct.
If you want to be the most productive, have the most impact, build your business the fastest you can, it's probably half of it.
It's like a warm-up.
Yeah.
It's like, who do you want to spend 40 minutes warming up before you get in your workout?
Yeah.
No, you want to do the least amount of warming up and preparation for your session to get you into the session. So if you need a morning practice, there's nothing wrong with the morning practice.
Mm.
But it's like, make it so that you can get into the impactful shit as soon as you can.
And if it takes you 2 hours, I'm asking some questions.
Oh, I fucking know.
Because it's just mental masturbation at that point.
Oh, like 100%. Yeah. And it's like,
do you have one? Do you have like a prep to start your day?
Get up, train. Shit, have a shower, go to the gym, and then get into it.
Yeah, so trains for you.
Yeah, it's just like, but even if I don't train, like Wednesday, yesterday, or some days I don't train, it's just like, I'll have more anxiety not getting into it than I will getting into it.
So I've noticed I am more productive afternoon if I go outside in the morning.
Interesting.
And it actually doesn't, it's not long. It's like the time I make.
That's cool.
Because I have tea now in the morning instead of my coffee. It takes me a little bit longer to drink, which is good.
Yeah.
So I get up, put 1,000 layers of clothes on, have my tea and go outside with the dog.
Yeah.
Play fetch with her until my tea's gone.
Yeah.
Sunlight, whatever. Yeah,
movement, brain stimulation.
I notice if the weather's shit and I don't do it, I notice after a couple of days, my sleep's not as good. I'm a little bit restless. It's like, okay, so that's a practice that I can continue to do that makes my day better.
Yeah.
And I have a measurable outcome for that.
Yeah.
And my dog likes it.
yeah, it's good for them. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like that. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about when it's like, have the nap if it makes you perform better.
100%. Yeah. I mean, training's probably the best trigger I feel the best after, providing I train legs.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I time is finite and so is my energy.
Yeah.
And I know how to match those things up to get the most out of things. And I know that it's kind of like just doing the dishes, man, if they're on the bench. It's like, rather than, like prepping the floor and the house and making sure it's the right temperature and making sure the water's the right, to do this, like, do the fucking dishes.
Yeah.
You do the dishes, like, they're gone. And then it's like, if anything, adopt a practice after you do your shit for the day to calm you down and set yourself down to rest to go to go again the next day.
Because you'll be better the next day.
Yeah. Like Benny and I were talking about that. It's like, there's more value in flipping it.
Yeah.
Than there is kind of distracting you from doing the thing.
Do you,
and I would argue the most, just to finish, I would argue the most successful people that people look up to would do that than spend 3 hours 100%. Getting into their work. They would just 100%. Get up, get shit done, and do some reflective practice before they go to bed, and then get up and do it
again. Layla's thing gets up, fucking does 3 hours work before anyone's awake.
Yeah.
I love that. Love it.
Yeah, it's, I agree.
Fuck, I can't remember what I was going to ask you now.
Sorry.
Damn it.
Souls Bros.
Damn it. All right, we'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
So we did speak about, obviously, the community.
Yeah.
We spoke about it in the other podcast as well. So our target outcome for this Mighty Networks community is not to sell stuff.
Yeah.
It's not another portal to offer our services. The links are in there to go buy the things, but we're not going to, it's not in there like, hey, you should buy this, you should buy this.
Yeah.
It's a place where we're terming it outliers. We're outliers who want to meet other people who have similar interests and similar life goals and stuff as them. It's all of our training clients. It's all of our PT clients all in the same place.
Yeah.
Discussing topics that we're all interested in.
Yeah.
And the goal for us, it was, if we say we're going to Dinwiddie's Brunswick on Saturday, we fill the joint.
Yeah.
If we're going to Sydney and we're... I don't know any bars in Sydney, so I'm going to change it to Brisbane.
Yeah.
We're going to Brisbane and we're going to Fallon's on Saturday night.
Yeah.
We want a buttload of people to show up.
Yeah.
And be able to interact and have all of those experiences outside of just shift your center of mass towards your midfoot a little bit more during the session. It's like, what happens before? What happens after? How do we kind of roll this out? So we're not going to be plastering it all over social media. If you're a podcast listener, you are invited. Consider this your invite to the invite only club.
Yeah.
Which the link will be in the description, YouTube, Spotify. You'll be able to find it. Hopefully Tam will put it in there.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can come. All the open community stuff will be available to you. Yeah. And we can conversate and build us mid-30s some friends.
More human interactions. More human interactions.
So we'll see you in there. Keep an eye out this week for, like we said, Jess's first 1K week resource, which will be coming out. All of our YouTube and things will be aimed in that direction as well. We've been speaking about our Melbourne workshop, our intensive, which someone fucked up, Someone being me. Someone
glad we cross-referenced the dates.
Someone had a mental breakdown and actually had to turn their... Did you notice I turned my camera off in Q&A?
Nah.
I was just like, I can't fucking deal with this right now. I just have to...
Yeah, yeah.
This has to be dealt with. So, yeah, it's going to be...
September the 1st. The weekend of September the 1st.
That weekend. First weekend of September.
Yeah.
Instead, so we'll start drip feeding pre-registration out for that, so you can register for the early bird and the VIP tickets.
Yeah.
And we'll update the landing page with the correct dates.
Running business things.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing that's what happens when you do too many things at once.
Yeah.
That's what we spoke about today.
Yeah. I should have cross-referenced the dates sooner.
We all should have. All right, guys. All thank right. you for listening.
Thank you.
Like, share, subscribe,
yep.
tag, do the things.
See you next time.